This is Brewers on Tap.
Episode number 55 of Brewers on Tap. I'm Lane Grindle, your host of the podcast, and a lot coming up over the course of the next 20 minutes or so here on Brewers on Tap. Some transactions for the Brewers. Let's start with that. Yadier Rivera optioned to Colorado Springs after the All-Star break. That made room for Zach Davies, who was recalled after that really paper move as much as anything to get him some rest and to get an extra roster spot for a bat before the All-Star break came about. Michael Blazek also optioned to Colorado Springs in this past week. Corey Knebel is recalled, and he has pitched a couple of times since coming back up from AAA. Post-All-Star break look at the crew. Of course, got back into action on Friday and took a loss in Cincinnati. At the hands of the Reds, it was a 5-4 game. Scooter Gennett hit his eighth home run of the season. Then Saturday, the offense erupted, a 9-1 victory for Jonathan Lucroy and the crew. Lucroy hit his 12th home run. Hernan Perez hit his fifth. Jimmy Nelson worked seven scoreless innings, allowing just six hits in that contest. Then on Sunday, a heartbreaker for the Brewers in that finale against the Reds in Cincinnati. A 1-0 loss. Billy Hamilton scored on a pass ball in the bottom of the ninth after back-to-back two-out walks. Zach Davies, we just told you about him getting recalled. Boy, was he good in his first start after the All-Star break. Seven scoreless innings, five strikeouts against zero walks. He only allowed four hits in the contest, but again, a 1-0 loss for the crew, and they lost the series 2 games out of 3. An off day in Pittsburgh on Monday for the crew, and then on Tuesday night, a tough one again against the Pirates this time. Junior Guerra, tough first inning, gave up a couple of runs, and then he was really good the rest of the way as he gave up just six innings of three-hit baseball and just those two runs allowed for the right-hander for the crew. But a 3-2 loss all the same to the Pirates after tying it up in the top of the ninth for the crew on a couple of hits, one off the bat of Hernan Perez being the big one that drove in a run to tie it up at 2. Then in the bottom of the ninth inning, Josh Harrison led off with a triple, throw to third, hit the runner, went into the camera bay. Harrison then was awarded home, and the game ended that way. So a 3-2 win for the Pirates. So it's been a tough road trip so far for the crew. It'll continue Wednesday night and Thursday night before the crew comes home for a big series against the Cubs at Miller Park this weekend. Hey, something else you need to be checking out if you're coming out to the games this weekend or over the course of the next week. It's here until July 31st. That's the Hall of Fame Tour. It is really cool. You can get tickets by going to hallofametour.com. It's set up right in the parking lot of Miller Park, and it is really cool. I had a chance to go through it last week. Just a special experience for you to bring your kids out, a lot that they can learn, and a lot of cool memorabilia that's there as well. You have Jackie Robinson's cap from the 1955 World Series that he wore. You got Harry Carey's glasses in there, but you also have some real cutting-edge stuff as well. My favorite part was the virtual reality lounge where you put the virtual reality headsets on. You feel like you're on the field while Bob Melvin is making a pitching change for the A's. All sorts of cool stuff really puts you in the game, and it's a special, special thing that you need to check out. If you're coming to any of the ball games coming up before July 31st, we'd like to see you out there. All right, let's catch up with the crew and manager Craig Count.
Let's catch up with the crew.
This is Brewers on Tap TV. Lane Grindle with the manager of the Milwaukee Brewers, Craig Council, and the first half is in the books, and so good time to kind of take a look back at what transpired with the Brewers through the first half and look ahead to the second half of this season. Let's start with, in general, you know, your thoughts on how this team performed and grew up as the first half went along.
I don't like evaluating the first half because I don't think it makes any sense. I don't think we sit there at the half of football season and look back. I think you look forward, and I think we look forward at what's ahead of us, the challenges ahead of us, how we impact these guys to get a little better through the next half, how we continue to do some of the positive things we did in the first half. So, you know, it's at this point to me, this is a look forward time. You know, it's you know, how do we keep getting better? How do we push the needle forward with a couple of our guys and some specific kind of targets with some guys that we want to work on? So that's kind of the message that I'm talking about with the coaches and we'll talk about with the players.
You have some young guys that have performed very well so far. Some young experience-wise, maybe not as young age-wise, and I would start with Junior Guerra. What a job he's done so far and really developed that splitter into being a big-time pitch for him.
Well, Junior's, you know, it's really a case of a scouting find and the kind of players that, you know, we're in the place to give some opportunity to. And he's been a real important player for us, and just that he's solidified our starting rotation, you know, a spot in our starting rotation. I mean, you know, Taylor Youngman and Willie Peralta struggled to start the season, and are in Colorado Springs right now. So, you know, having somebody step forward, you know, Zach Davies has stepped forward in a big way as well, but Junior has certainly stepped forward in a huge way, and been a great find for us.
Jonathan Villar, another good example of a great find for the Brewers, and putting up big numbers and just doing a lot of different things to impact the game in general.
Yeah, I think Johnny's a case of a player who I think he's a talented player who got to the big leagues really fast. You know, he kind of went through his growing pains at a really young age, and he struggled a little bit, probably lost his way a little bit, then didn't really get that next opportunity that he really needed after he had really made some adjustments. So we were able to give him that opportunity. And it's a talented player who's been given another opportunity and probably needed to go through some of those failures to be better at this next opportunity. So that's a player that's, you know, not necessarily Jonathan Villar, but there's going to be circumstances like that. And it might be a guy's first chance, and he might fail, and we might have to stick with him. But Johnny's made the most of you know, this opportunity, and he's played at a really high level. He's been an exceptional leadoff hitter. I mean, you know, he's a leadoff hitter on a championship team. That's how well he's played.
How pleased have you been with the veteran leadership mixed in with so many young guys on this team? Seems like that has gelled well so far.
You know, one thing I've been pleased with is I think we've got a good group of guys, and I think they pull for each other, they root for each other, they care about each other. They understand each other. They understand that they're at different stages in their career. They respect that. And really, you know, Aaron Hill was a huge part of that. He really was. You know, players that Aaron had a great way of seeing everybody's perspective. Mm-hmm. And that's a harder thing than it seems. I think a lot of people think they can see other people's perspective, but it's not as easy as it sounds. And Aaron really could genuinely see other people's perspective. And it made him wise, I would say, and allowed him to approach problems and approach ways to help players in a very different way.
One last thing before I let you go. You know, you mentioned looking ahead to the second half. What are the things you want to see out of this club over the second half of the season?
Well, I think, you know, there's going to be guys, I think, that are, you know, continue to get opportunities. I mean, Ramon Flores is a guy who we've committed a lot of playing time to. And Ramon, you know, I think Ramon needs to have a good second half. He's a player that I think has a chance to have a much better second half than he did. I think, you know, I think a player like Jimmy Nelson still has, you know, another step to go this season. I think he started out really well. He kind of ran into a little bit of a, you know, about a 4 or 5 start stretch where he struggled a little bit, but I think he really has another step to take this season to jump into next year. So, and then, you know, I think we continue. Another part of the team that we haven't talked about is our bullpen, which has been a real consistent group, and some names have kind of moved back and forth there, but you know, Will Smith and Thornburg and Jeffers have really formed to me a pretty solid group at the back. Carlos Torres has been very consistent. Blaine Boyer's overall been very good. So, you know, hopefully just keeping that group solid and performing well, I think, is really going to help us, you know, maintain and win some games at the second half.
Council, appreciate it. Thanks so much.
All right, Lane, thank you.
Craig Council with us here on Brewers on Tap TV.
Checking in on the farm.
All right, as we check in on the farm, we start in AAA Colorado Springs, where the Sky Sox have had their struggles. through Monday's games, they had lost five straight. Josh Hader had a tough start on Monday for the Sky Sox. A couple of guys continue to hit well for them, though. Nate Orff and Kyle Wren turning some heads with their offensive production right now for the Sky Sox, who are 44-48-1 through Monday's games and eight games back in the American Northern Division of the PCL. They'd been playing pretty good baseball up until this latest slide. Double-A Biloxi, of course, that team has had some guys move up to Colorado Springs. It's been part of their struggles. 9-16 in the second half, four games back in the South Division of the Southern League. They got a big performance out of Brooks Hall on Monday night. He tossed seven scoreless innings, but they lost 2-0 to Birmingham. And Johnny Davis doing some good things for Biloxi. Brandon Woodruff, who had some tough news for him with his brother last week, has been pitching very well here recently, though, and had a very good July on the mound. But our thoughts and prayers with Brandon Woodruff, who, again, lost his brother earlier this week. Class A, Brevard County. The Florida State League team has some intriguing names there right now. Of course, you're talking about Wendell Riho, who was just acquired about 2 weeks ago in the Aaron Hill trade through the Boston Red Sox. And so he's there now. You got Corey Ray, the first-round draft pick there as well. And Cody Ponce is the guy to pay attention to in Brevard County. He has been absolutely pitching up a storm. His last four starts have been really impressive for the Manatees, and he'll be taking the mound again here before the end of this week. Class A, Wisconsin. The Timber Rattlers, 12-13 in the second half. They're 34-36 in the first half. So playing, you know, just right around 500 baseball. Boy, has Eason Diaz been good since the calendar flipped to June. He's been a big deal for them. His 13th home run of the year came on Monday night in their loss at Dayton. I had a chance to catch up with Eason late last month, and we sat down and talked about a whole bunch of things. Eason Diaz is with us here from the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers on Brewers on Tap. And Eason, first and foremost, thanks for being with us.
Most definitely, yeah. It's good to be out here.
Let's go back to the trade that involved a lot of different guys, obviously, that brought you from the Diamondbacks over to the Brewers. What was your reaction when you found out the news, and how has the transition been to a new organization?
You know, it's a... When I found out, I was kind of shocked. Obviously, you know, I wasn't really expecting something of that nature to come around so early in my career. As soon as I got the call from the Diamondbacks, I immediately, told my parents and, explained to them what was going on. And, they were actually kind of shocked as well. But, it was something new. You know, I couldn't, be more grateful, you know, to be a part of something like that such early in my career. And, I'm very fortunate to be here and be, a part of the Milwaukee Brewers organization. And, hopefully, we continue to work hard. And, we're going to continue to work hard and, hopefully get to the big leagues one day.
You had a big year last year in the Pioneer League. You were the Pioneer League MVP. And so, like you said, probably shocked that you get traded, but at the same time, it means somebody really wants you. And does it take a second to grasp all of that when something like that goes down?
Oh, most definitely. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, that going, I know that, you know, the Milwaukee Brewers see something in me. And, my job now is to perform to the best of my ability and show them that they didn't, make a mistake. And, every day just go out and try to play as hard as I can, just be the kind of caliber player that they want me to be.
You went to high school in Massachusetts. You were born in Puerto Rico. Does that diversity help you a little bit in the clubhouse or just from a baseball standpoint, you think?
Being able to speak both languages does help. Being able to guide those other Latin players that, have trouble speaking the language, and being able to help them and see them grow as a person, as a player, explaining to them different ways on how I grew up speaking the language and how I learned, it kind of is a something that makes someone feel good. And it's always great to have that in your back pocket, hopefully, one day get to the big leagues and say, hey, yeah, I speak both languages, and you know, I can be on the field and you know, take care of other players that don't, you know, speak the language as well, and guide players, you know, throughout the process.
What are your earliest memories of playing baseball?
Earliest, you know, I mean, I believe, I have to say, I mean, if we're going back to, you know, when I was a kid, I did the Cooperstown tournament in New York. You know, that was kind of one of the highest, you know, one of my favorite memories. You know, being a part of that tournament was very special, especially coming from where we come from, you know, in Massachusetts, where, you know, not a lot of people get to be a part of something of that nature. And, you know, just being there with the family and friends that, you know, I kind of grew up with, you know, it was kind of fun and kind of had that turning point to, you know, say, hey, you know, this is kind of what I want to do. If, you know, this is hopefully I get a job, you know, and do this for the rest of my life, you know. And, you know, it kind of gave you that feeling, you know, that you were a professional ball player for a week. And, you know, it was great to be over there and experience that.
Erickson said you kind of emulate Robbie Cano a little bit. Is that a guy that you followed a lot in your career?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of started following him once I got to pro ball. You know, obviously, I was a big Jeter fan when I was in high school and when I played younger, you know, in the little leagues and stuff like that. Obviously, my dad was a big Jeter guy as well, and so was my grandfather. You know, but I kind of felt, you know, some you know, things with Cano as far as, you know, playing-wise. You know, I kind of felt like we related a little bit in the game. You know, I just found that, you know, kind of comfortability with the way he played and how I feel on the field, you know, and it kind of, you know, gave me a lot of success, especially last year. You know, just finding that rhythm and that routine and that comfort zone that just makes me feel good out on the ball field.
You're a shortstop, you can play second base, and that versatility obviously going to play well for you as you move forward and move up through this system. Do you have a preference?
Not really. I mean, I know I can play them both. You know, wherever is it that, you know, they want me to play, then I'll play there. You know, whether second, you know, short, you know, my job is to just go out and compete and perform to the best of my ability no matter what position I play.
What surprised you about this level this year when you got your first taste of it?
You know, obviously the weather, you know, was a bit different, you know, at the beginning of the season. You know, it wasn't something that I've experienced, especially, you know, consistently, you know, from month to month. But, you know, it kind of taught us a lot as well, you know, as far as dealing with adversity and knowing, hey, you know, it's not going for us. You know, the weather's kind of, you know, a big issue, and trying to find out different ways to kind of go through the struggle, you know, it kind of helped us see what kind of, you know, players we were between the ears, just like Maddie says all the time, and you know, it kind of you know, taught us a lot of what it is to kind of, you know, find different ways when your way is not working, you know, and you know, now since the sun is out, it kind of makes the game a little bit more easier. And we always talk about, you know, those times where, hey, you know, when we used to play in the cold weather and now we're in heat, so it kind of feels good to get out of that. And but yeah, it was very fun to actually go through something like that.
You've had a really good June. You've really taken off. I think you had three more hits last night. You know, what's been the key? You talked about the weather. Has there been other development in your game, do you feel like, over the last couple months?
I think so. I think I'm more, I've kind of captured some more stuff between the ears, you know, mentally. I've kind of spoken to, you know, a lot of people, you know, that I know as far as, like, you know, my dad and the hitting coaches here, and you know, just trying to figure out different ways to be successful, you know, because obviously not every day is going to be your best day, so you got to try to figure out, you know, what works best for you for that day and try to continue it. And you know, lately, you know, I've been just trying to keep my hands close to my chest, you know, trying to keep short, quick swings to the ball, and just trying to, you know, put the ball in play hard. And, you know, lately they've been falling, and we'll continue to do that.
You mentioned your dad a couple times. Has he been a big influence to you from
most standpoint? From day one? That man has been he's been a big influence in my life, and you know, obviously if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here today. And you know, he's always, you know, the guy to, you know, give you those motivational speeches and you know, give you that energy to go out and perform you know, every day on a consistent basis.
Isan, appreciate it. Thanks so much.
All right, thank you.
We continue by looking at rookie Helena, the Helena Brewers in the Pioneer League. Lucas Ursig's been tremendous for them. He's been moved up. He was 2-for-4 on Monday with 2 runs and 2 driven in, a home run and a stolen base. He's been moved up now to Class A Wisconsin, as Lucas Ursig, just tremendous through Monday's games, a 5-game hitting streak, multiple hits in 4 of those 5 games, and was hitting an even 400 on the year with 11 extra base hits through Monday's games for Lucas Ursig. The Helena Brewers 11-12 overall on the season.
Here's what's on tap with the Brewers.
Time to look at what's coming up for the crew, and of course, that Cubs series this weekend, and then next week's win, you got a chance to really come out and see some baseball on top of that Cubs series. That's Brewers and Diamondbacks Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. It's a 4-game series. Monday, remember, that's a 6:20. That's a 6:20 p.m. start on Monday, the $6 Miller High Life Monday. Terrace Reserve tickets are just $6. Tuesday, that's a 7:10 start. Wednesday, the 27th, a 7:10 start, and Thursday, the 28th. That one starts at 1:10 p.m. And, of course, kids 14 and under and seniors 60-plus save 50% on tickets on Thursday afternoon for that 1:10 game. That's going to be Paul Goldschmidt and the Diamondbacks. Zach Greinke, they're all coming to town for that 4-game set, and that should be a good one. And then the Pirates come to town on the weekend. That's the 29th, 30th, and 31st, and there's something going on every night. Or every day, at least, during that series. Free Shirt Friday on Friday the 29th. It's 90s night on Saturday the 30th. That's a 6:10 start. Take note of that. And Sunday at 1:10, it's Jimmy Nelson Bobblehead Day. Plus, of course, the kids eat free Sunday. So there's going to be a ton of stuff for you to get in on. The Free Shirt Friday, that's a Brew Crew bottle cap t-shirt. All fans in attendance are going to get that. And then, of course, the 90s night on Saturday night, that's going to be pretty cool. You should participate in this. So wear your windbreaker, throw some neon clothes on, put a Walkman on, you know, all the good stuff, and throw it back to the 90s and get ready for the Pirates and the crew on that night. That is going to do it for us for this week's edition of Brewers on Tap. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week for episode number 56. I'm Lane Grindle. Have a good week, everyone.